Gospel of John, chapter 18, and we'll begin reading with verse 28, and we'll read through chapter 19, verse 16. As Jesus enters into Pilate's court, John 18, verse 28, let us hear the word of the Lord. And then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. And it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That is, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. I'd like to also hear what we confess in Lord's Day 15, question and answer 38. Regarding this question, why did Christ suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? As we confess with the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And the question asks us then, why did Christ suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? The answer is this, that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. As far as confession regarding Christ's suffering under Pontius Pilate. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our confession, the Apostles' Creed, we have obviously Jesus, the God-man. As we confess him, along with the rest of the Trinity, but there are two humans listed in the Apostles' Creed. The first being the Virgin Mary. That Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And we recognize that as we meditated on that, that he became really man. And he came so low and that none of us would have any excuse to say he didn't come low enough to become man, to be born in Bethlehem in a stable. He came for the lowest of all sinners. But it's interesting that there's another human listed in the Apostles' Creed. And that is a Gentile, a king, a ruler named Pontius Pilate. And Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate. Have you ever wondered why is the name and the person of Pontius Pilate listed in the Apostles' Creed? What does Pontius Pilate have to do with our faith and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ? And why would it be so important that Christ would suffer under Pontius Pilate? And we heard of the account as we read the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and 19. But we also have a clue also from 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul addresses Timothy and says, "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate." There was something going on when Jesus came before Pontius Pilate. There was judgment in judgment seats when he came before Pontius Pilate. And Christ witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And that should encourage us also to walk in a way that would be fitting to this same confession of Jesus Christ. As we find in verse 14, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see, has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. This is why he must come before Pontius Pilate. To make that good confession and attest to who he is as the only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who has all life in his hands. And so he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now I'd like to look at that in three ways. First of all, to prove his innocence. Secondly, to assure his people of their salvation. And thirdly, to condemn the world. Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, first of all, to prove his innocence. This whole story of Jesus being arrested, from the time he was arrested in Gethsemane with the hands of Judas, who betrayed him, all the way through being led to the cross, really highlights and proves the very innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas betrays him with a kiss. And later on, Judas comes with this money he had received from the leaders of the synagogue, the Pharisees and the scribes. And he takes this silver and he casts it at their feet and he declares, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Even Judas himself had remorse and came to his senses that he had betrayed innocent blood. It led him to a terrible end of suicide because he didn't come to full knowledge of Jesus as a Savior. But he did recognize he betrayed innocent blood. And even there in the hall of Ananias and Caiaphas, there, they're bringing all kinds of witnesses to testify against Jesus. And they have to manipulate their words and the words of Jesus to judge him and put him to death in order to really establish his innocence. It's all to show us today that he was the innocent one, the holy one. They had to accuse him of claiming to be the Son of God, even though he was. And that was the only way they could put him to death because of that kind of blasphemy. And yet, these Pharisees and scribes, Ananias and Caiaphas, had no power to put him to death. They were the ecclesiastical or the church leaders. And they were not given this authority. And so they have to go to the civil government to gain this authority, that civil government that God had ordained in order to bear the sword and carry out this decree of execution. And so this civil trial here is needed. And they must take him before Pontius Pilate, who was the one who would be responsible for carrying out these execution orders. And so they lead him, as we found in John 18, verse 28. Early in the morning to the praetorium, to the place where Pilate sat in judgment. And there they brought Jesus and claims he's an evildoer. And they deliver him up to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate wants nothing to do with this man. And wants nothing to do with what's going on here behind the scenes. He has no stake in it at all. And so he says, "You judge him according to your own law and you deal with it. I don't need to do this." And the Jews say, rightly, "We have no power to put him to death." And so this civil trial is needed in order to fulfill what Jesus had said, that he must die this sort of death. And so Pilate, he enters the praetorium again and he calls Jesus and he asks him various questions. And he asks him, first of all, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or are you just hearing what others are telling you about myself? Are you intimidated by this?" And Pilate answers, "I'm not a Jew. This is your nation. These are your people. And they've delivered you to me. But what have you really done?" And he really doesn't want anything to do with this. And Jesus tells him he has a kingdom that's not of this world. And if it was of this world, his servants would fight and Ananias and Caiaphas would have no power to withstand him. Nor would Pontius Pilate himself. But he says to Pontius Pilate, "Everyone who hears the truth hears my voice." And so Pontius Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" He doesn't understand. doesn't comprehend, but he understands this. There's no fault in Jesus. And he goes before all of those who brought Jesus to him. And he says to them, I find no fault in him at all. He even offers them Barabbas, or offers them Jesus as their king to be released on the Passover. And they cry out to him, oh, release unto us Barabbas, release unto us a robber, and likely even a murderer. Release unto us a true criminal, so that this innocent man can be crucified. And Pilate doesn't know what to do to appease these people. So he scourges him, Jesus. And the soldiers, they twist a crown of thorns and press it upon his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they mock him and cry out, Hail, King of the Jews! As they struck him with their hands. And Pilate says, look, I've done what I need to do here, people. Here he is. I find no more fault in him. He's innocent. And so he sets Jesus before them. And they cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate says, you take him, you crucify him. I find no fault in him. He declares his innocence. Four times in this passage. And even though Pontius Pilate is succumbing to the people's will and executing unjust, unfair punishment, he is being used by God to execute his eternal will in condemning his only begotten Son. Pilate, he simply wanted to please everyone. He played the part of a worldly politician. He wanted to gain a good report with his friends. He wanted to please Caesar. He wanted to keep favor with his people, the people who he was ruling over. He wanted to protect his reputation. He wanted to protect his friendships. He wanted to protect his political agenda and vision. And it outweighed the principles of justice. Even though he tried to pawn him off onto Herod, appease the people by whipping him, trying to release Barabbas, or release Jesus instead of Barabbas. Even though his wife came to him and pled with him, have nothing to do with this just man. There his wife in Matthew 27 says he's an innocent man, a just man, saying, that she had suffered many things today in a dream because of him. He disregards it all and gives Jesus over to crucifixion. He judges him wrongly to fulfill the very word of God, to fulfill what Jesus said himself in Luke 18. We're going to Jerusalem that all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man would be accomplished. I will be delivered to the Gentiles, to Pontius Pilate, to the Roman soldiers. I will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again because he's innocent. Just as we find in Psalm 61, they hate him without a cause. They're his enemies wrongfully. They're seeking to destroy him wrongfully. Isaiah 53 verse 8 and 9. He's taken from prison to judgment. He's cut off from the land of the living. And yet he makes his grave with, he made his grave with the wicked, but rich at his death because there he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. He, the innocent one, is set before Pilate and declared to be innocent by Judas, by Pilate's wife, by Pilate, and yet he is judged and condemned as a guilty, vile sinner. And dear congregation, this is important to the gospel itself. It is important to the gospel to prove the very innocence of Christ, that he gave himself as a perfect, spotless sacrifice to make perfect payment for our sin and to merit through his perfect obedience life everlasting. It is absolutely essential to the gospel. And therefore we confess, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, who declares him innocent, but judges him as a guilty one, to be condemned to the death of the cross. And all of that is to assure his people, as we see in our second point. It's to assure us. It's to assure us, just as the apostles were doing on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, in Peter's sermon, he says, he being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, wicked hands, deceitful hands, unjust hands, and you have crucified and put to death an innocent man. But the Lord is in control of it all, and he would not allow his Holy One to see corruption, and he raised him again on the third day. And why is this so important? He says in Acts 2, verse 36, therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the one who has come as the innocent one to become guilty in order to bear the price of the justice and the wrath of God against our sin. We who are guilty can only become innocent through his sacrifice and his perfect obedience. And so even as he's born of the Virgin Mary, coming so low as a real man, coming under the law, even to be born in a stable, to come for the lowest and the meanest of all sinners, he comes. And he even comes under the rule and the judgment of wicked men, whether it be Ananias and Caiaphas or a Gentile dog like Pontius Pilate himself. Those dogs, as we've sang in Psalm 22, who've surrounded him. And the congregation of the wicked who enclosed him to pierce his hands and his feet. He came under Pontius Pilate to be declared by his judgment. Though he was innocent, and though he attested he's innocent, to be judged as the guiltiest, vilest sinner. He comes to the Praetorium, to Gabbatha, the place of judgment. Come with me there. Hear the pronouncements. I find no fault in him. And yet I'm going to judge him as the vilest of sinners. That's worthy of the most cursed death, the death of the cross. Come with me from Gabbatha to Golgotha. And see this spotless Lamb of God, who's perfectly innocent, who's come into this world to bear our sins and to give eternal life to all who trust in him. Come with me and see him and be cut in your heart as those on the day of Pentecost, crying out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And hear the words, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be assured that he's been given to be Lord in Christ. He's come to assure his people that his sacrifice and his obedience is sufficient for a sinner like you and like me. If he's condemned as the guiltiest and vilest of all sinners, and he's condemned to the death of the cross, no worse death could be thought of in that day, then he has come for you and me, guilty, vile sinners who are beasts, simply beasts before him. He says, come and behold the cross and the judgment that's been pronounced upon me. You see, the ultimate question for you and for I, you and me today, is this. What will you do with this Jesus? We're sitting in judgment this morning. A judgment in your conscience. Pilate was on a place of authority. The pavement, the praetorium, Gabbatha. And he had a decision to make. And he was pulled by all sorts of people. And all sorts of ideas and motives. He wanted to wash his hands of Jesus. He didn't want anything to do with him. He went to be confronted with the truth that Jesus was bringing to him. He wanted to just get rid of this Jesus and this problem. Is that you today? When the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the question comes to you and to me, what think ye of Jesus? What's your answer? You're in a place of judgment. Just like Pilate. That brings us to the last point I want to bring forth. Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate to condemn the world. You see, Jesus, the substitute of his people, has something to say to the world. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to heaven but by me. Because I perfectly gave myself as a sacrifice. I became the vilest of sinners so that you might be free. I am the only way, the exclusive way unto eternal life. And as you are sitting in judgment, my dear friend, in a place of judgment in your own conscience, do you have the same questions as Pilate did? Because Jesus coming under Pontius Pilate proves the very condemnation of Pontius Pilate himself by his response. As he comes to him with that question, are you the king of the Jews? Are you also wondering this morning, who is Jesus? Is he really king? What has he really done that's so suitable for me? And Jesus wants to direct our attention to his kingdom. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. You might think my kingdom's of this world. His disciples were confused about that. Maybe you're even confused. Pilate was certainly confused. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And if they're fighting in me and for me and by my spirit, there is no kingdom on this world that would be a match for King Jesus. Not a one. But my kingdom is not of here. It's a kingdom of heaven. And Pilate continues to ask him, are you a king then? And Jesus says, absolutely, I'm a king. You're right to say that I'm a king. It's for this cause that I was even born, to be king. And to bear witness of that truth. That I am a king, that I am a savior, that I am the Christ, that I am the innocent one. And everyone who hears this truth and knows this truth hears my voice. But you say, Pastor, what is truth? What is truth? Isn't that the ultimate question today in the world? What is truth? It was asked by Pilate years and years ago. In a world that is filled with leaders who are condemned by their very response to Jesus. In a world that's condemned because of its response to Jesus. Pilate is simply representing it and he asks, what is truth? And the answer that many answer today, even within Christianity, is there's many ways of truth. There's a plurality of truth. There's many roads to heaven. But that's not the truth that Jesus talks about. When he says, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And those who know my truth hear my voice. We can know for certain that those who do not know the truth will reject the truth, and they are condemned already because they've rejected Jesus, who is the truth. You see, in John chapter 12, as Jesus voluntarily submits to the verdict of Pilate, who's representing the whole world, a world that's lost and outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. A world that's under condemnation. We find in John 12, as Jesus is predicting this very death of the cross, that he says this, that the hour has come to glorify the Father and to glorify his name. And as he says that, the people who stood there in verse 29 said that it thundered. And there was like a voice of an angel and they didn't know what was going on. And Jesus answered them and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world, he says. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. What he's saying there is the world is coming under judgment. And the prince of this world, Satan himself, and all of his influence within this world, even the leaders of this world, it will be cast out and it will be trampled upon. But I will be lifted up, he says. You have heard the echoes of John 3, don't you? That the Son of Man must be lifted up, even as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and that he might draw all to him, all peoples to himself. This is the gospel. The world is condemned. The ungodly are condemned. But Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are also judged, and they're to be judged faithful because of Christ's faithfulness and righteousness. You see how Pilate's judgment, his official judgment, which was pressured by the act and on behalf of this world, is a trial in itself. It is the judgment of this ungodly, antichrist, secular, pluralistic world that is opposed to Christ and his anointed. And as we read in Psalm 2, God is laughing from heaven by their foolishness, especially when they cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him, do away with him. We want nothing to do with this sovereign king and his loving rule and his gracious gospel." The Herods, the Caiaphases, the Pharisees, the scribes, the crowds, Pontius Pilate himself, the Roman soldiers, all shown as this world, have crucified the Lord of glory with wicked, unjust, unlawful, anti-God hands. And that hasn't stopped yet even today. A world that is against Christ in all of its injustices and wants nothing to do with Christ and wants nothing to do with his law, wants nothing to do with his gospel, all come under the umbrella of Pontius Pilate. And we're included in that number because we've come here to a place of judgment. What do you think of Christ? You see, dear congregation, every moment we are not bowing in worship to Christ. Every moment we want to wash our hands of Jesus. And we want nothing to do with this suitable substitute for our sins. Every moment we are not surrendering to him in repentance and faith. Every moment that we are not looking to him as the only way. And trusting and praising him as the only substitute. Every moment he's not our all and in all. Every moment he's not altogether lovely to us. Every moment we are crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him. I don't need such a savior." Are we then not calling upon his blood, the blood of the righteous Son of God, to be upon us and our children? Oh, we come to a courtroom today. Decisions happen in a courtroom. Judgment takes place in a courtroom. But this won't be the last courtroom you come to. The last courtroom you come to will be in that great day of judgment. And there you'll come to God's courtroom. To his judgment hall. And on that day, both you and I will stand in that courtroom, before the throne of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Have you been cut in your heart, saying, "Lord, what must I do to be saved? There's nothing in me, that's totally hopeless." Have you been directed, even this morning, to that holy, spotless, blameless Son of God who takes away the sins of the world? Do you trust in him? Couldn't you die without trusting in him? Are Are you ready to stand in that courtroom with the gates of heaven shut and the mouth and the pit of hell open before you? To say, I want nothing to do with you, Jesus. You weren't a good enough Savior for me. You weren't suitable enough for me. You weren't sufficient enough for me. Even though you stood in church and cried and confessed, he was born of a Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He went to the lowest for the vilest of sinners. But he really doesn't have anything to offer me. Can you imagine that pit of hell being open to welcome you into eternal condemnation? Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate to declare the condemnation of those who are outside of him. I want you to notice something from John 3. When God gives that most beautiful promise, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. What does he say? He says, God didn't send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the problem is, with my point, when you look at that verse, he suffered under Pontius Pilate to condemn the world, don't you? But John 3 says he didn't come to condemn the world. You say, Pastor, maybe you should have thought about that when you made that point. Well, the truth of the matter is this. It's in what follows. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. When Pilate refused to hear the truth, to submit to the truth, when the Pharisees and the scribes and Ananias and Caiaphas and all who were under that umbrella refused to believe in Jesus as the truth, the only truth, what happened? It's very clear. They were condemned already. Jesus didn't have to stand before Pontius Pilate to condemn him, but to reveal his condemnation. Because the purpose of Jesus in coming into this world was not to condemn you. You're condemned already. There's nothing good in you. And there's nothing good in me. We're like beasts before God. By nature, we're all haters of God. By nature, none of us would want to have anything to do with Jesus and having him be Lord of our life. Because we're condemned already. He didn't have to come into this world to tell us that and to show us that. You see it in a baby. And you see it in a 90-year-old. But he's come to save. To save all who would come to him. He's come to be lifted up on that cross as he's been judged as an innocent person. He's come to show us that he's died for sinners like us. Not that we would be condemned. Oh, God doesn't even have pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that they would turn to him and believe in him. Do you? Or do you love darkness more than light? What think ye of Jesus? I'm going to let you go home. With that very question in your conscience. And I pray that you confess with your whole heart that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate to declare that though he was innocent, he was judged to be guilty and to be condemned to the cursed death of the cross. Yes, for a sinner like me. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, we stand in a place of judgment in our own conscience. And we know who we are by nature. And the gospel has been set before us. And so I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes. And that we would see our terrible demise if we disdain this only Savior. If we play fast and loose with his truth and his exclusivity and his beauty and his glory as our Savior. Oh God, have mercy on us and open our hearts and open our minds and our affections, that we would fall in love with the Savior who's so suitable to save a vile, wretched sinner such as ourselves. Wash us and cleanse us in his blood. And give us a sense of gravity, soberness, humility at the foot of the cross, that we would submit and surrender our whole life unto you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.